Well, the theme of this series of the two creations, which is the fourth, this is the fourth in the series, has been the creation account reminds us of the path from the old life to the new life. Now, you're probably getting tired of that, but that's the theme of the whole thing, that the creation account is telling us something about the recreation, about the new creation, our life in Christ. And each of these sermons has had its own theme as well. The first one was this: the God of creation is the Lord of recreation. And then the second theme was, God sticks with what He starts no matter what it looks like. You might remember some of the message in that. And then the third one was, the God of order is waiting to work with our disorder. He wants to repair it and straighten it out. This fourth one, the fourth theme is this: God's work begins with His Word, which in turn brings light. And you might notice that some of the songs we sing, Morning Has Broken, Lord Speak to Me, and you know, His Word, and then Heavenly Sunlight, it's all about light, isn't it? And His Word, and listening to God's Word. And that little poem from the baby, Where Did You Get This Pearly Ear? God Spoke and It Came Out to Hear, from George MacDonald. That's what we want our hearts to have, the ear of our hearts to come out and listen to God's Word. Well, Genesis, again, Genesis is about beginnings. That's what the word Genesis means in Latin. And it's the beginnings of all theology. And the same is true of this verse 3, which we're going to talk about today. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's all I'm going to talk about today. But boy, there's so much in here, because it offers two principles to us that we can look at. Number one is this: God works through His Word. He spoke, right? God works through His Word. He speaks with authority into the disordered world, whether it's the disorder of the original creation or the disorder of fallen humanity that needs His recreative touch. God speaks with authority into our world of disorder. And the second point is this: His work starts with light. God works through His Word, and His work starts with light. You know, it's like, you might remember, you might have heard Shakespeare's phrase, where all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. You've probably heard that. I think it's from As You Like It. But the Bible is like a gigantic theatrical production. It's like the filming of a spectacular movie. And God is the producer, He's the director, and He's written much of the script. He's allowed us to write some of it too. But this life is the stage, and we're the actors and the seconds and the walk-ons and the stage hands. That's what we are. And some of us like to think, oh, well, maybe I'm just one of the props, you know. But in this verse, we see that the cameras are all ready to film. They're all ready to roll. But the drama only begins and the lights only come up when the director, the divine director, calls out, lights, action, roll them. We're waiting on that speech. Lights, action, and he starts with lights. And notice that this first thing in this whole passage is the first thing that God brought into the world. What was the first thing that God brought into this world He created? It was His Word. He spoke. That's so important. And God said. That's what He brought into this world of creation. He wanted to reorder it. But how did He reorder it? By His Word. He brought into this this created chaos, He brought His Word. And God said. And that's the fundamental revelation about God. God is a communicator. He's a communicator. But His words don't just convey knowledge. That's not what He's just about, especially in this. His words convey more than just knowledge. They generate worlds. they bring forth life. That's real communication. Wow. That's God's communication. And the communication that God makes is through Christ. And why do we know that? Well, Christ was God's Word in the creation. And how do we know that? It's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It's in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3. I'll read those two. Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. How did God speak? And God said. God's Word came forth, and it was so, wasn't it? He brought forth His Word first into the world, and that's Christ. Because Christ became the interface between God's will and this world that was sort of uncreated, unordered, in a chaos. Jesus was the intermediary between the two. His Word, the Word of God. And then in John, Christ was God's Word in incarnation. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 3, and then verse 14 as well. In the beginning was the Word, and this word Word means logos. It's God's meaning, His reason, His intention, His logic, His mind. This is the logos is the mind of God. Okay, so in the beginning was the logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Every single thing in creation came through this Word. It's the biggest priority, the Word of God. And Jesus is that Word. And here's what it says. Here's how we know it, because in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. Now, what was that word? It was, let there be. Let there be. Throughout Scripture, we find this is the primary intention of God, to bring forth His will through His Word. To bring forth His will through His Word. Let there be. That's all God had to say. Let there be, to bring about His will. And we tend to focus, when we go to the Word of God, the written Word of God, we tend to focus on the do's and the don'ts, don't we? You know? On the thou shalt nots. And a lot of scriptures on the thou shalt nots. The Ten Commandments mostly is thou shalt not. Or we focus on the things that we want to believe in, the creeds. And these are all important. But that's not God's major emphasis. His emphasis is on the do's. Not the thou shalt not do. His emphasis is on the positive things we need to do in obedience. Let there be. And it was so. And when He gives us His Word, it's so that we might have His will and that we might do His will. Let there be in our lives. Let that Word interface into our lives so His will comes through into our lives through obedience. And this is why it says that the Word became flesh. Why did the Word actually become one of us in human form, inside of a body? Why? And it answers in Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. That's why Jesus came, to do the will of God. That's why the God and God said became let there be. And it came to pass. It's to bring His will into the world. And this was Jesus. He said, this is my food. Jesus said, this is my mission and this is my food. He said this in John 4. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me. I am his word to bring his will into the world. And that's what God expresses through his word. He expresses his will. And that word, which is motivated by his will, has power. And there was. That's the next phrase. And there was. Let there be, and there was. There was power there. And that phrase reveals that God's words have absolute power to perform the perfect will that they express. Whatever God says, there's power behind what he says to bring that absolutely into perfection, to bring that to pass. That's why we can rely upon the promises of God. And it's not a mechanical or magical kind of power. It's a living power. A power that's alive. And here's what it says in Hebrews. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word has power to perform heart surgery, doesn't it? It can go right into our hearts, and it's not to hurt us. It's not a sword to hurt us. It's like surgery to heal us. That's what the word, it's powerful, this living word of God. Now, faith, our faith, unlocks the power of God's word. By placing faith in this word, it unlocks the power of God's word. There's another step to that as well. But let me just read this. And you know, faith is in the living word of God. We read about the living word, Christ Jesus, through the written word, his spoken word, that he's breathed into people down through prophets down through the ages to write these words so that we could put our faith and trust in the living word of God, Christ. And here's what it says, and this word of faith. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth, that you confess and are saved. To be saved, we must believe in our heart. We must make his word our words. And we must also use our mouths to speak forth the truth of his word. And that unlocks the power of our salvation. When you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with your own lips you make the confession. Just like God said, let there be, and there was. You say with your, I let him be Lord of my life, and he is. Isn't that amazing? Just as God spoke this into creation, your salvation, in a sense, is spoken into creation, or recreation, is spoken into existence through your word of confession. That is an amazing point in this passage in Romans. God's incarnate word, Jesus Christ, not only expressed God's mind, but he expressed God's will by paving the way for our salvation on the cross of Calvary. He alone can bring us out of death into life. He alone can recreate us. Our part is to believe in this living word and to confess him as Lord. To confess him as Lord of our lives, of our thoughts, of our wills, of our actions. And this is what it is. That's the first thing God brought into the world. The word. But the first thing that God's word brought into the world was light. The first thing that God's word, which he could bring many, many things, he was going to bring a lot of things into the world. But the first thing he brought was light. Let there be light. Now, light is God's first priority in creation because light is the cornerstone of creation. It portrays God's very nature. Because in John, 1 John chapter 1, it says, God is light, and he in him is no darkness at all. He reveals his character that way. There were no sun or moon or stars at that time to give forth light, and we say, well, how's that work? Now, there's a way about it that it works, but I mean, I'll just tell you that they say, wow, how does that work? No sun, no moon, no stars. That's where light comes from. All those things. That's where light comes from. How could there be light where there was no galaxies or anything like that to give forth light? And you know what? It started out that way with no sun, moon, or stars. That's how it started. And there was light. That's how it's going to end. There's not going to be... Hear what it says in Revelation. It says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Wow! It started out that way with no sun, moon, or stars giving the light. Just the light. And what do you have at the end? No sun, moon, or stars giving the light. Just the light. Wow. See how closely the creation and the recreation are together? That's why this sermon series has been such a blessing to my life. And so, you look at that and you say, light. Light is part of the creation. But let me show you that God wants to show you why he started it out as a priority, because light is recreation's spiritual cornerstone in Christ Jesus. That's where salvation's cornerstone is, in light. Jesus said himself, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have what? Will have the light of life. Not a sun, moon, or star shining from inside, but the lamp, the Lord who is the lamp, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The second phrase in this, let there be light, and there was light. There was light. It came into existence. Now, light is a reality that reveals all other realities. If God had not created light and had created everything else, you couldn't see him. No, he created light first, because light is the reality that unveils and reveals all other realities. And God shines his spiritual light to enlighten our hearts to salvation in Christ. People have been given a choice, have been given free will. They can pull down the mental blinds against God's light, or they can shut their eyes real tight and put their hands over their eyes real tight to try to avoid the light. God has given us that ability. But God keeps on shining. God keeps on shining until we finally, hopefully, pray, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. You know that song? We haven't sung it in a long time, but it's a great song. And when people get converted, what do they say? I see the light. They've been in darkness, and now they see the truth. Oh, that's a wondrous time when that happens to someone. Creation itself is filled with life, and it's filled with light. And it gives no excuse to anyone who tries to put blindfolds over their eyes and close their eyes to God's light. In Romans chapter 1, it says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. This light is shining from creation itself all around. You can't take a walk in the park or in a forest and see all this beautiful creation and not say, it's God's country. Yeah, it is. And everything's God's country, and we belong to God too, and we need to give our hearts to him. You know, this thing about creation speaking and life filled with light throughout our lives. I tried to capture this in a poem one time. It's called Inviting Visitations. And it's a sort of a sad poem. because it's about a lost soul in hell who is remembering or being reflecting on the things that he had in life. And this is what it says in the poem, the grace of life that he's reflecting upon. Recalling again the simple smile on someone's face, the touch of a friend, a mother's hug, a sister's kiss. Remembering songs and stories, gifts and mealtime grace, the pleasures of music, marriage bed, and lover's bliss. Bright visions return of nature's multicolored speech, reminding of nights he camped beneath her starry sky. Her vivacious voice and rhythmic rhymes all seem to teach the song of the king that men should sing before they die. That song is being sung constantly in creation, and we need to open our ears. Open our ears. That little pearly ear needs to come out and hear God speak. You know? The gospel, not creation, but the gospel contains the greatest enlightenment for the soul. What can enlighten the soul better than this gospel? 600 years before Christ, the Old Testament described the light that he would bring into the world. Here's what it says in Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That's the prophecy of Christ. And then the New Testament uses terms that are taken right from the creation account to describe the light and to describe the way that we live the Christian life. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians, this telling about the recreation of our lives in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, his word brought forth light. He wants his word to bring forth light in everyone. God's work begins with his word, which in turn brings forth light. His work in us follows the same pattern. In a changing world, in a world that's constantly changing, his word is unchanging. It hasn't stopped being the same. It is still as powerful as it was on the day he said, "Let there be," and there was. It still has the same power. The darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief, in that darkness, the light is undimmed. It does not change. It still shines. It can be shut out, and people can put their hands over their faces and not see it. But it still shines with the same power. But it takes a personal choice. It takes a personal choice to let the light of Christ shine in our lives and become our light, the light of life for us. I made that choice when I was a young person. And some people made it as seniors. I often like to tell the story of when he was in his 70s, Colonel Saunders from Kentucky Fried Chicken. He became a Christian in his 70s after a long life of quite a tale that he had to tell. And it was in a story called Finger Lickin' Good is the name of the book. And I don't know if you ever read that. But at near the end of the book, he tells about his conversion to Christ. You know, seniors can come. There's people walking around here that don't know Christ. After years of exposure to his word, to his light, they still haven't come. The important thing is that they make sure they do. That they make sure before they leave, they do. To make sure that the Creator becomes our recreator. That's what Genesis is trying to tell us. In the background of those three verses, we see the recreation as well. It tells everything about the recreation. All of theology is in the book of Genesis. You just have to see it there from help from the New Testament. How do we do this? We invite Christ, the incarnate Word, the one who is the light of the world, to be the light of our lives. We make him the Lord of creation. We make him and say, "Thus it shall be in my life. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's our, that has to be our word. And when we pronounce that word, guess what? And it was so. Let's pray. Father God, oh Lord, of all the messages about the two creations, this is the most powerful. God, when I think of you speaking forth the first time and light coming into the universe, wow. And Lord, it's just like when the first time you speak light into our lives and we become enlightened and we say, oh God, oh, you're so good. I didn't know. I didn't know. I had closed my eyes or people had told me things. My ears were stopped up. I couldn't hear because of the noise around me, of the world and of politicians and professors in colleges or people who didn't know you, maligning you and denying you and shutting you out. And I listened to that. Lord, that day that you spoke into my life, the enlightenment, it goes on forever and it'll only get better and better. Thank you, God. Thank you. And I pray, Father God, that this church, I've often said this, but Lord, might we be a lighthouse of your word and your light. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.